One of the greatest signs of our relationship genuinely in Jesus Christ is communication with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The one infallible mark and test of being a Christian is our prayer to the one who has saved us and our intimacy and relationship then with him. You can say, well, those are the words of man. Well, let's move on to the word of God now. Here's the words of God. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said this. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. Now, Robbie, what our listeners may not know about us here at Live in the Light is that what we want more than anything else is the radical transformation of lives through the revelation of God's truth. All of this, of course, to God's glory, but that's our heartbeat here. And our heartbeat brings us into this series in particular in the book of Luke, where we're looking at unique stories to Luke, specifically parables of Luke. And today's parable is a fantastic parable, right?
A parable all about the perseverance of prayer in our lives. It's a parable Jesus is really asking and demanding from his children to not give up on prayer, to continue to seek and petitioning him for the things of his heart to be seen in our lives. And so you're going to listen today, and I pray right where you are, you will be met by the Lord for the power of God to work through your life. Maybe you've been tempted to give up, and maybe you've been fighting through discouragement or despair, but today, through the truth of God's word, once again, he will reach down and speak to you and bless you and affirm his love for you and say, my child, do not give up. Do not give up seeking me. Do not give up asking me. Do not give up in requesting from me my will upon your life. It's such a great encouragement, and we pray we found as such within our listeners today.
All right, well, it's Luke 18, beginning in verse 1, and it's the parable of the persistent widow. May God lead us through this text now. And here again is our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
I'm excited to do what we get to do right now. Be together and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and today is a story. We're telling stories within our series in Luke. And today is a story of persevering prayer. Now, I want to remind you, as we go through this series, we're going through parables that are found in the Gospel of Luke. And parables specifically that are unique to the Gospel of Luke as well. But today's message is essential, and here in part is why, as we seek to tell a story of persevering prayer. A quote by Ian Bounds is right here, and this is a good one. He says this, "Nothing distinguishes the children of God so clearly and strongly as prayer." Now, that should be convicting on some level. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. It is the one prayer, it is the one infallible mark and test of being a Christian. That's strong language, but that's good language. One of the greatest signs of our relationship genuinely in Jesus Christ is communication with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The one infallible mark and test of being a Christian is our prayer to the one who has saved us and our intimacy and relationship then with him. You can say, well, those are the words of man. Well, let's move on to the word of God now. Here's the words of God. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said this. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. So notice what's happening here. Notice the purpose of what Christ is saying. He says, you did not choose me, I chose you. I chose you and I appointed you as my son or daughter that you might go and bear fruit. So I've chosen you that you might go, that you might go and bear fruit, that you might bear fruit and it may abide, that your fruit should abide. The pattern of choosing, appointing, sending, bearing fruit, abiding, notice, so that. I mean, this is the purpose, the reason, chosen, appointed, bearing fruit, so that whatever you ask, And whatever you ask is prayer. According to this verse, we have been chosen in Jesus Christ for prayer. You are a child of God for prayer to bear fruit in your life through the passion and path of prayer to God, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Do you think prayer is a big deal to God? Yes. In fact, one of the critical signs that we are in Jesus Christ is that we are growing and engaging in prayer towards him, individually, family, as a church, as a movement before God. Prayer is a big deal. And that's why Jesus tells a story today of persevering prayer. Now, the first verse in chapter 18 of Luke provides the explanation of our parable. Now, not every parable starts that way, telling us exactly why the parable is written, but ours does today. So what I want to do, I want to use the explanation verse as a launching pad into this parable. And if you allow me to, I want it to be used as a launching pad into our first point as well within our message today. So here's point number one, as we start to tell a story of persevering prayer. It's this, number one, by faith, I will not lose heart in prayer. By faith, I will not lose heart in prayer. And this is really the essence of this message. Loved ones, it's this. We can never give up on the power of prayer, ever. We can never give up as to the importance and the power that is found within prayer. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Again, not every parable starts this way, but here we find the crystal clear understanding as to why the story is here. And let me say it this way, loved ones, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, says to you today in this text and in this parable, and imagine Christ kind of grabbing you by the precious part of your face and his hands on your cheeks and looking you in the eyes. And he says to you today, my child, don't ever give up on the power of prayer. My child, don't ever lose heart when it comes to the power of prayer. He looks at you, just imagine Christ, not just talking to everyone, but to you individually. He looks at you as an individual and says, my child, don't ever give up as to the power of prayer within your life. And verse 1, there are two reasons given in this parable that tell us so much about prayer as to why we should not give up. Can you see them in verse 1? Again, Luke says the reason Jesus told the story that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, the keen mind right now will understand that the reason for the parable points to the reality of our lives. You see, what do you mean by that? Well, the reason the parable is given is because of the reality of prayer's challenges within our lives. So the first reason for the parable is that we ought always to pray. So what's the reality in our lives that Jesus understands and we know? The reality is that prayer's hard work. We ought always to pray, but the temptation is to not always pray because prayer is hard. It's the easiest thing to do in some ways because Jesus is always ready. We can do it at any time, to any place, but it's the hardest thing to do, as we're going to find out in a few minutes, because certain things and people oppose prayer within our lives. So the first reason is we ought always to pray. The reality is prayer is hard work. The second reason for this is that we would not lose heart. So the reality in our lives is that we will be tempted to be discouraged when it comes to prayer within our lives. Jesus is anticipating the temptation to be discouraged when it comes to prayer. Now, when I stop there and I say, okay, Jesus is telling a parable that I might always pray and not lose heart, I get so encouraged. I get so encouraged that Jesus is anticipating my discouragement. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus is understanding that it's going to be tough at times, that we're not always going to be in the mountaintop, that when it comes to prayer especially, it's going to be a battle. He's anticipating that, which encourages me in this. It's okay in part then to be discouraged, but it's not okay to stay there. It's okay to be tempted with discouragement. We're not called to be perfect here and now, but we're to be growing in the path to say it's not okay to remain discouraged. And the way out, we're learning, the way out is by prayer. So Jesus knows that we will grow weary at times. Jesus knows that prayer is hard work. Jesus knows our temptation will be to lose heart. But again, loved ones, the whole point of the following parable is this: we cannot give up on prayer. We will be frustrated at times. We will grow weary at times. Yes, we will be discouraged at times, but we must press on. Another thought to summarize this message and this parable, which is so kind of neat and insightful, is this. Think of it this way. Jesus is insisting on our insistence regarding prayer. You follow me? Jesus is insisting. Jesus is commanding that we do not give up on prayer. He's telling us, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. I want you to keep knocking on my door. I want you to keep seeking me. I want you to be persevering and persistent when it comes to pressing in with prayer towards my will for your life. Jesus insists that we approach him, the throne of grace, with insistence within our lives. That's amazing to me. And then we ask, we say, well, Jesus is anticipating the hard work and discouragement of prayer. Why is prayer so hard in our lives so often? Why is it, if we're honest, that so many believers' lives just simply aren't growing in prayer the way that they know that it should? I had four reasons why prayer is so hard. I put them on the screen for us here to see. Here's the first reason why I believe prayer is so hard spiritually. Number one, because our flesh opposes prayer. Our flesh opposes prayer. Did you know that? Within us, we have a sinful flesh, the old self, which we are still fighting against. In some ways, he is completely dead and died. The penalty of sin is gone in the love of Jesus Christ. For those of us, and the grace of Christ, for those of us who have truly been born again in Christ. But the battle over sin, over the power of sin remains. And so our sinful flesh within us, our sinful flesh doesn't like prayer. Our sinful flesh opposes prayer. Because why? Prayer is dependence upon God. Prayer is a admitting of our weakness before God. But our sinful flesh loves laziness. Our sinful flesh loves self-righteousness. Our sinful flesh loves self-reliance. Our sinful flesh loves apathy and complacency. I mean, we've battled with that all week this week and maybe even this morning. Our sinful flesh, we're dragging ourselves in here to church. Several minutes late, maybe just not even really there, know what's going on. Our sinful flesh is trying to oppose the thing that God wants to do. We have to be aware of that. And prayer fights against self-reliance. Prayer fights against self-righteousness. Prayer fights against self-dependence. That's why prayer is so hard. Our flesh opposes prayer. Here's the second reason why prayer is so hard is because Satan hates prayer. Satan is terrified of a praying family, praying church, a prayer movement. Ever wonder why it's so easy just to grab a bag of popcorn and sit on the couch for like 2, 4, 6 hours at a time and just watch TV and be like, ah, this is good. You're just gonna feed your face with popcorn, sitting there all of a sudden, oh, it's time for bed, I better go. You know, just like there wasn't any problems whatsoever. It's so easy to do. But the moment you think, man, maybe I should go pray with my wife. I think I'm gonna pray with my kids right now. Maybe I'm going to set aside 10 minutes, half an hour to seek God in prayer because I know it's important. And you go to do that, and then all of a sudden, every distraction known to mankind, like you go to pray with your wife, and all of a sudden, a thought comes in and says, well, she won't even want to pray with you. She might think that you pray like a fool. I'm going to pray with my kids. Well, they're going to think that you're strange, and that's not going to work. It's not going to do any good, and I should go pray here. What about this, 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 and this? I got to do all these things. Oh, I'm too busy. Forget it. I'm not praying at all. You ever notice those things happen? Why? Because in its purest form, prayer is a spiritual battle. In Ephesians 6, the greatest chapter in the New Testament for spiritual warfare, the context of the armor of God, and the last piece, the weapon we pick up is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you know the next phrase following, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? The next phrase is praying at all times. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and prayer go hand in hand, are offensive weapons against the forces of darkness. That's why our week of prayer is everything this week. This is our battle by prayer to God. Because Satan is so afraid of prayer, he hates it. Of course, then, it becomes difficult. Of course, then, there's all these obstacles we find as we seek to depend upon the Lord. So simple, it's sometimes so complex. Here's the third reason I thought of prayer so hard, because we're tempted not to believe in prayer, meaning we're tempted to think that prayer doesn't actually work, and so if we did believe it, we would do it. I mean, ask yourself, why don't we pray more? Fundamentally, if we were convinced theologically and our minds were renewed as to the power of prayer, would we not do it more? would we not engage in this because we fundamentally know and are convinced that prayer is as powerful as God says it is? But I think we're tempted at times, maybe subconsciously, to not even be aware that we're not really believing in the power of prayer, maybe more believing in the power of self. And the fourth reason I wrote down here is because we simply don't make time for prayer. It's hard to be good at something that you don't make time for. It's hard to get in shape if you never hit the gym or exercise. If you don't make time for something because it's not a priority, then of course it's going to be very hard to see this grow within our lives. One of the things we're learning in this parable again today is this: the Christian on fire is the Christian who prays. There is no holiness apart from prayer, loved ones. One of these things that you don't think about a lot, but when you actually think about it, if you want to grow in Christ, you must pray. There's no way to grow in Christ without prayer. There's no way to see God move apart from prayer, because prayer is the line of dependence between God and us. Prayer is the very lifeline through his word by the power of his Holy Spirit. But prayer fundamentally is, God, help us. We need you to do what only you can do. So there is no growth, there is no power apart from prayer. And this is why Jesus has this word for us today. He says, oh, my child, believe in prayer. Don't give up on prayer ever. Look at these other Bible passages that speak on prayer. Notice this, Romans 12, be constant in prayer. Ephesians 6, I might add one of four alls in verses 18 and 19, all relating to prayer. Praying at all times, with all supplication for all the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Love Colossians 4:2 today, because of our context of Luke 17 and Luke 18, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer and then being watchful. And the reason I love that with our context today, because the passage that precedes our parable in Luke 17, the subtitle in my Bible is the coming of the kingdom. And hopefully you can see it there. And why is that important? Because Jesus saw an interval between his ascension into heaven and then his second coming back to earth. He knew there would be an interval between his ascension back to his Father and the moment where he would return back to earth and gather his church. This time period is called the age of grace. It's the age that we're in right now. It's the age of the church. So Jesus is anticipating this interval of time. And here's what he knows. We pray and we are watchful, meaning this, and I hope you figure this out. The Christian life requires perseverance. The Christian life requires hanging on. The Christian life requires a dedication to what is true and the perseverance to not give up. I mean, you know this, right? Like, the Christian life is not meant to be easy, but it's meant to be amazing. And so this time period that Jesus is giving us, the age of grace, that millions may be ushered in salvation and be saved through the gospel, this is the time we're in right now. And this is what he knows. So he says, hey, church, he says, don't give up. But how is the church going to persevere? The church cannot persevere without prayer. How does the husband hang on? How does the family hang on? How does the individual hang on? How do we hang on as people, as the church? How do we persevere? How do we fight temptations? How do we endure false teaching? How do we persevere through persecution? The answer is in our text today, three words: pray, pray, and pray. And by faith, then, I cannot lose heart in prayer. That's number one. And here's number two. And by faith, I will persevere in prayer. So I won't lose heart, but I will persevere. So look now at the parable in verse 2. And here's the actual story Jesus tells now. He says this. Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, this is amazing, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? What's happening in this parable? A couple of things are. First of all, we have an unjust judge. Notice, two times in three verses, we are told that this judge neither fears God nor respects man. Why would the word of God do that? Jesus wants his disciples to know and not miss the point. This judge was an unfair man. Now, the reason he's telling us about the judge being unfair, he's setting up the contrast of the perfectly righteous and fair judge, our Father in heaven. So we have an unjust judge, but then we have a widow. We don't know for sure, but she's most likely weak and very poor. We do know for sure she's been wronged. In the context of when the story was told, widows were among the most defenseless in Jewish society. The Old Testament speaks of widows being oppressed and taking advantage of. They were often the victims of legal matters like we see within our text here. But it's here that the widow now becomes the focus. And what do we learn from this parable regarding her behavior? We notice a couple of things. Number one, we notice that she was persistent. In verse 3, it says she kept coming to him, that she would not stop asking. Notice her hope and her strategy was her persistence. She would not stop asking or going to this judge until she was vindicated. And this is remarkable for us, the clarity it brings of how Jesus wants us to relate to him in regards to prayer. Jesus, again, is insisting on our insistence as it comes to seeking him within prayer. The same way the widow would not give up until she was vindicated with justice, her strategy of persistence is to be our pursuing of the Lord relentlessly in love of him because what he's done for us, and primarily then through prayer. It's amazing when you see that. Are we persistent in prayer? So when I was sitting in the Las Vegas airport and I was with my second son, Cale, and we're sitting in the terminal waiting to come home and we had lots of time. I'm the kind of guy who prefers to get to the airport early so I don't have to rush through all the frantic stuff of security. But so we had a few moments to wait there. And of course, there are slot machines in the airport terminal, of course, right? And there they are. And my son, Cale, and I were just kind of waiting there and reading whatever and just watching. And we saw these people just playing these slots and playing and playing and playing and like just would not relent and so persistently. And of course, my son, Cale's never seen anything like this before. And he's like, Dad, what's up with that? You know, and it was actually turned out to be a bit of a gospel moment for us and be able to sit there and just say, okay, look what these people are doing. Like, what happens if they won? What happens if they won all the money this machine could muster? It would never turn out to be anything of any value. It just wouldn't, but they think it will, so they keep pursuing the things and the persistence of the playing and the lever and for like minutes and minutes and an hour and just like, I haven't really seen this stuff before either. I'm just like, wow, man, that's sad. That's sad. And the thought came to me though, like, but said to Cale, like, you know, Cale, in the gospel, man, like, you have the Lord, you have everything. But what if the believers in the church, oh, this is so needed for us. What if the believers in the church went after the Lord the same way these people are going after the slots? I mean, honestly, like, what if the same fervency? Like, the persistence is astounding. The persistence of their idolatry to the point that they're willing to ruin their lives over it. But you flip that spiritually, we're supposed to spend our lives to save it for the gospel of Jesus Christ with the fervency and the intensity and the desire of going to him and going to him and going to him. Oh God, that you would do that in our hearts. Oh God, that you would do that in our church. Oh God, that you would give us this going and crying day and night for the Lord. The widow was so persistent. We learned this. She was so persevering. In verse 5, it says, the judge says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, literally in the original language, that is causing him trouble. In our day, a translation could be a phrase that we would use is, she's driving me nuts. She's driving me nuts, like just wearing him down with her continual coming. Do you have people like that in your life who drive you nuts? From time to time, that might or may not happen in our house at home. Dad, can I? 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 You know what I mean? It happens like, and just you're like, are you for real? Like you've been asking forever. Dad, can I? Dad, 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 dad. Like, ah! You know, and like, fine, just if you stop it. That's bad parenting. I understand. But at some point, you're just like, oh, wow, like this incredible perseverance of this request. And that's what's happening within this text. This widow was hounding this judge and walking around. And I think he probably was embarrassed because she was weak and poor. And at some point, she's asking, he's like, if you stop asking me, if I give you what you want, you leave me alone. The text is saying, beat him down. Literally gave him a black eye, like a boxer, like stunned him to the point of his embarrassment, just saying, I can't take it anymore. If I give you justice, will you be gone? And then this is what happens. Her persistence, her perseverance. Notice the judge didn't give in to the fact that she was weak and poor. The judge gave in to the fact that she was just driving him crazy. And that's why at the end, she received what she was asking for. Now, this becomes a fascinating parable for us. And here's the question, well, how do we apply this to us? What are we to make of this now? Well, let's first understand what the parable is saying and what the parable is not saying. What the parable is saying is that we are to be like the widow. We are to be persistent in the pursuit of God, in the persevering of seeking the Lord in prayer. But the parable is not saying that God is like this judge. Our God is not someone who becomes worn out by our petitions and gets fed up with us and just says, listen, you stop hassling me, I'll give you. That's not what this is saying about our God, no way. The truth is God loves his children. God delights in his children. He loves to bless his children and protect them and answer them. Rather, the reason this parable is so powerful, and here's really the take home for the whole day. If an unjust judge who neither fears God nor man relents to a weak and poor widow, here's the contrast. How much more will a perfectly heavenly father respond to his children in persistent prayer? Again, that's the take home right there. How much more will a perfect father in heaven respond to us? Because look at verse 6 again. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Right? So let's compare. And will not God, there's the comparison. And will not God, the perfect, holy, awesome Father in heaven who loves his children perfectly, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? So loved ones, within this parable, there's no question that Jesus is saying to us, he says, my child, I challenge you to keep praying. There's no question. In some form, I challenge you to keep seeking me. I challenge you to keep praying. There's no question within this parable that Jesus is saying this in some level. I'm not done answering, so you're not done praying. I'm not done answering, so we're not done praying. Implicit within this parable is this. Our Father requires persistent prayer. Implicit within this parable is our Father works within persistent, persevering prayer. But listen to this truth also implicit within this parable, and this is key. Our Father does not answer all prayer immediately, at least not in the way that we would like. So please see that truth. This is the truth on prayer. And look up here. This is so important. Look up here. Ready, ready? If we give up on prayer, then we miss out. If we give up on prayer, then we missed out.
Thanks so much for listening to Live in the Light. We found this ministry to be such a blessing to us as well as our listeners. Our mission here at Live in the Light is to see the radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. But that's only made possible by you, our listeners. We're kept on the air by your generous gifts and donations. If you're interested in giving to Live in the Light, you can do so on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-225-4448. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.